I'm here with Bruce Bartu D2, and Joan F., the Marathoid. Bartu B2, that's what it is. All right, yeah. All right, we won't start over again.
I don't know if I want that on tape.
No,
tape.
What could possibly
on
go
tape?
On tape, yes. Just as we're, well, you know, there is, speaking of, you know, tape versus digital and film versus video, we'll talk a little bit about this, but we are talking about the 31st annual Ohio 24-Hour Science Fiction Marathon with Bruce Bartu, it's the host organism.
Yes.
I was going to say Master of Ceremonies, but that's the horror marathon.
Yeah.
First off, let's just talk about what's new this year compared to, especially last year. Last year was an aberration.
It was
very political. He's a very good senator. Thank you.
Last year was the year without film. It was all digital.
Mm-hmm.
There, and we really, as it worked out, a lot of stuff was going on. Personally, for me, my mother was days away from passing away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, we lost her 5 days after the marathon. So I was, the whole time before the marathon, I was consumed with what was going on there.
Yeah,
and I was seriously, there was a strong possibility that it was going to happen during the marathon. So that was kind of where I was at.
Yeah.
And going to all digital could have been okay, but someone needed to do a lot of things to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of trailers could have been produced digitally. You know, we could have put things together, but thing is, I was the only one who was going to get it done.
Okay.
And I just couldn't.
No. Nope.
And consequently,
he's not talking about me. Is that someone? Oh, okay.
No.
No. And the reason I bring up last year is because, because it was different. It was all digital, and Drexel had gotten rid of their 35mm projector, but it's back now because it came back for the horror marathon,
which
is its return to the Drexel, Drexel theaters, which is, and then you had the trailer event earlier in January.
Trailer trash, 3-hour, the worst and best trailers of all time, midnight show benefit.
It was educational.
To help pay for the reinstallation of the 35mm. And it helped significantly.
Awesome.
It was a very generous crowd, and we did it a second time, but the weather destroyed it.
Polar vortex.
But I will say, though, there were a number of people who were really generous, including one person who couldn't make it the first time and intended to make it the second time, but the weather got in the way of that. But he donated $100.
Wow. Good for him.
You know, I mean, this is just, you know, we have really good people out there. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, it's humbling.
Well, I think what it shows is there's a market for it. There's a market for 35mm. There's a market for classic films played in the format that they were originally designed for.
Right. There is, you know, all of that, but to me, the marathon is really more than all of that. It's about the audience and the getting together and the spirit of watching these things together. And ripping them to shreds when they deserve it, and, you know, being in awe when they move us that way, and, you know, being surprised by something that we didn't know anything about and discovering it together. Mm. It's, that's the fun of it for me is, you know, we're putting on a show, and it does take on a life of its own. The being together for 24 hours has a dynamic that people think are people who haven't been there. We're having a harder and harder time explaining that to people who think, oh, I can watch all this stuff at home.
Movies are a social event in some contexts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, comedies, for example.
Absolutely.
Watching a comedy at home is nothing like watching a comedy in a theater full of people.
Or unintentional comedies.
Yes.
Stuff like Infoman. Yes. Which is making its
way. Inferman is a serious drama about the destruction of the world.
This is the fourth appearance. Well, we're going to go through the list of what's playing. But first, just to get to the details on the paperwork, it's from noon Saturday, March 15th, until noon Sunday, March 16th. It is at the Drexel North in Bexley, Ohio.
The Drexel.
I'm sorry.
The Drexel.
Whoa.
The Drexel North. The Drexel North in Bexley.
The Drexel.
Now in Bexley.
It's
they
the
must
Drex-
have had to move some wires to get it down High Street and out Main Street.
Are you kidding me? No one. The crowd doesn't go to the old Drexel North. It's a fitness center. I wouldn't step in there if I had to. No, anyways. No, it's the Drexel only. No,
but they go to Laughing Ogre right next door.
Yes. Yes, that's where you can get tickets. But tickets are on sale at the Drexel only. At I'm calling it. That's all it is.
The Drexel. The Drexel, Drexel Theater.
And the Laughing Ogre, you can also go to PayPal. You can get them through PayPal at scifimarathon.com. Yep. They're $35 in advance, $40 at the door.
Right. $2 charge on PayPal just to cover the expenses of the PayPal.
Is it a will call thing or do they mail it to you?
I'll mail them up until about 5 days before, and then, you know, I mean, we actually have someone coming from Ireland. Oh, wow. I'm not mailing his ticket.
No.
Even 3 weeks out, I'm not mailing it. We're holding his at the door. But, generally, you know, if it's out of state, the weekend before, I'll stop mailing. If it's, you know, depending on how close it is.
Sure,
I'll cut it off, but we'll hold them. You know, and the thing about it is, when I make that decision, at that point, I email everybody to say, "Hey, I got your payment, and your ticket will be waiting for you at the door." So. Okay.
Now you moved it up a little bit. Normally, in the last how many years has been in May? It's been in April, and has it been as early as March before?
It's been as early as the end of January.
Really?
One of the Rife Center years. Yeah, it turned out to be a disaster.
Another polar was vortex?
It no, it was Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, that wasn't a feat of scheduling.
Yeah, it was one of those. You know, it was that or you know, the thing is, at that point, March was sort of where we had been for quite a while.
Okay.
And the alternative was to go into May.
Well, May, there's a lot to compete with.
There's Mother's Day, and there's good weather, and there's just a million things. And you get into graduations. I thought you could go to the marathon and you could go home, have a nap, get up, watch the Super Bowl. But, well, part of it was that was the third year at the Rife Center, if I'm not mistaken. Second year. The attendance was dropping, but part of the drop was the fact that people discovering that they couldn't eat in the theater, which was a serious drawback.
Yeah. You know, we're going to talk about food here in a minute, but so you're moving it back to March to kind of get back into the flow of.
Yeah. And I'd like to settle on this date because I think there's like 1 year in the next 20 where Easter might interfere with it.
Yeah.
But the third Saturday in March is a date that I've always wanted to push for so that people know.
Yeah.
That when it is.
Well, that's always been a struggle, is everybody knowing. Like, obviously, the Horror Marathon is usually in October, except for 1 year.
Yeah, or like the week before Halloween.
Week or two
Halloween.
Before Halloween.
We were talking about the Boston Sci-Fi Marathon off air.
Yeah.
And that's another advantage they have. They've basically held it for the same date, with one exception for, 39 years? And even the one exception was on the same weekend. They always do it over President's Day weekend, Sunday, Monday. And they switched it to Saturday, Sunday once. But knowing it's always going to be that day is great.
Well, especially for the out-of-towners. And,
yes.
And anybody who's got
a
plan for them.
And
there's
we draw a pretty healthy amount of out-of-towners to both marathons. Did you introduce me, by the way?
Does anyone know
who I am?
Yeah, it's Joe Neff here. He's been...
The Midwest King of Horror, I think, is my official title.
Is that what... I don't know if
I
that
think
was
I,
your title.
I think I...
I don't. What bathroom wall did you write that on? No, this is
the Drexel North.
Yeah, I introduced you as Marathoid, and he.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
Bruce
right.
was complaining about Bartu B2.
Yeah.
Joe Neff.
But yeah, it having a fairly solid date. I think it's what helped us with the Horror Marathon too. Mm-hmm. When we were building it back up, was you always knew it would be right around that time.
Yeah.
And we announced it far enough out in advance. So.
Well, that was neat. That was nice to actually wake up. Was it? Did you announce it before Christmas? Did you announce before? Okay. Yeah. It was really kind of cool to all of a sudden see an announcement for a date before the new year, 3 months ahead.
Yeah. And that's one of the sticking points on that is there was always this, oh, we're going to get a guest. Oh, we're going to get a guest. We can't decide the date because we have to leave it open to try and get a guest.
Yeah.
And it just dragged on and on and on. And then there would be the Oscar ceremony that the Drexel's been doing for like quite a while now. And that always took all of the energy away from getting the marathon together.
Yeah.
And, You know, that's
stupid Oscars.
The thing about not going after a guest allows you. And if you're going to go after a guest, you have to go after the guest 6 months ahead of time.
I think at this point, I mean, guests are great. They are great.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's attended since the 80s, I mean, as cool as it is to see the guests, there are so many opportunities to see a lot of guests that you don't get the opportunity to see some of these movies on the big screen. You don't get an opportunity to see these movies on 35. You don't get to see opportunity to see some of these movies at all or with a crowd. No.
Space Boy, except in really bad YouTube.
Yeah. What is up? Why is there not a good Space Boy version on YouTube?
Space Boy doesn't want to be on YouTube.
Space Boy is Space Boy futuristic, but not quite.
Space Boy just wants to hang out with the marathon crowd. And
there's the Space Boy remake on Vimeo.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Mike Galenix.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing in its own.
I agree.
I think that's great. All right. Well, let's now that we know the date and we're ready to go, let's just roll down the movies. It's very heavy on the 80s. Was that intentional?
I'll give you that because I started complaining about that about halfway through the book.
That's not a complaint. I love the 80s.
Yeah, I love it, but the thing about it is it's like you kind of had like drag a 50s title in here. Earth vs. the Flying Saucers was the last thing booked because we wanted to get This Island Earth, but it didn't work out.
But Earth vs. the Flying Saucers, you haven't shown that since what, 1990? It's
been quite a while.
1990, I think.
Yeah. And a classic in its own right.
No, I'm Goat Boy. I love the 80s, man. You know, this is great. So
yeah. I mean, you know, there's great stuff. And the thing about it is, there's a lot from that one time frame, but it's a really diverse selection from that time frame. So it's but 15
go ahead,
years.
Defend yourself, Joe. Let's hear.
You could see this, you'd see Bruce just pointed at me because it's all my fault. I came into him 3 months ago. I said, it's the 80s, baby. I'm telling you, they're hot again. Here the realities of booking an event like this. Mm. So we're back with film capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've talked about before, film capabilities are nice. What we have is a film setup where we can play a good amount of prints.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the studios and the archives, they will only let you play their prints if you can play on a dual projector reel-to-reel system. We don't have that right now.
Okay.
And
that's probably not in the near future.
I would not think so. A
couple more trailer trashes, maybe?
A couple more dozen, yeah. Well, it's space, too.
We do have other things to get up to speed on with that.
Yeah.
I think the next benefit for the booth would be to get them 3D video.
Oh, okay. So there's no 3D. That's because I was going to ask about
that's,
Dread.
That's the next question. 3D. Dread is going to be 2D. It's the 2D experience. Hmm.
Booking this as a result, like I think our hierarchy of what we want to book is, well, good titles.
Sure.
But if we can book film. If below that, there's a good DCP, book that. Below that, like Akira and Delicatessen, we're playing on Blu-ray. It's the only way you can get them domestically. There's a print in France of Delicatessen, but unless you know someone with a ton of cash, we can't really fly it in from France.
True.
Akira, there's like a DCP in England, but domestically they don't have a DCP ready for it yet. So
there's no more prints left of Akira? Because I saw it at Drexel North.
And people have been looking for a long time, and for one reason or another, there are no prints right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started looking at doing this whole lineup, it was, okay, let's check to see, kind of like we've done with the Horror Marathon, let's check to see what, like a big list of titles for each studio and check to see what they have. And you're kind of at the whim of what they have and what they have available and the dates. And, you know, we had a pretty good slate of things that we could get, but those things take time sometimes to get the word back on them.
Sure.
And we hit, you know, some potholes here and there with some places where they had film prints of a lot of good titles we'd like, but we couldn't play them because they were reel-to-reel only.
Yeah.
So we were kind of faced with trying to be creative in that, how do you put together a sci-fi lineup with some film titles because you want to, you know, we made such a big deal at Horror out of resurrecting the film projector system. We don't want to go then to sci-fi, especially the year after digital, and have no film prints.
Yeah.
Even though we'd have trailers on film, but you want to... You know, you want to say, hey, this was for a reason.
It's a draw.
And we just got done doing a benefit, asking people for money to keep this going.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing is for horror, the collector market for horror especially, and I mean the private print collector market is kind of a booming field for any event like this.
Yeah.
we probably won't have problems booking horror for a while, because there are a lot of great horror and exploitation titles in the collector market, and there's a pretty strong slate of DCPs. Sci-fi is a little tougher, and we've had to be a little more creative. So when we got down to finalizing the lineup, I mean, he and I both were kind of adamant we wanted to get word out at least a month in advance, if not more, yeah. just to finally say, hey, look, we have a great lineup this year. We have a plan to get together. We want to do a theme. So when it finally came down to it, it was kind of over, what, a couple days span where we finally said, well, look, this is what we know we can get. We can keep looking around and looking around, but if we do, it's going to be 2 weeks before and we still won't have a full lineup.
There won't be time to generate the flyer, and you're kind of scrambling at that point to get everything done in time.
Did you purposely realize that there about half the films are either contemporary or took place after the marathon started?
You did. I think on Twitter, in fact. Kevin Carr pointed it out on Twitter.
And then
yes,
you called
he
me
did.
Old.
I think I did call you long in the tooth.
Yeah.
That's
fancy speak for old.
That
I
is
understand.
True, I think. Well, and it was, I think.
And again, that's not a complaint. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, like for this lineup, for having this Future Shock Visions of the Future theme, there are, like you said, there were other titles we were looking at. And truth be told, if we had a lot of time to just pursue, we might be able to come up with, but we wanted to get something out.
Yeah.
And we thought, hey, look, you know, while ideal, you don't always want to have that many titles from maybe that decade.
Yeah.
While maybe not as ideal, it's still a pretty good slate.
Well, you can throw Running Man and Akira together, and I mean, you might sit there and be like, oh, yeah, those came out a couple years from, but they're so wildly different.
They are.
And that's good, you know.
Yeah. And really, in some ways, we've kind of given short shrift to the 80s throughout recent marathon history for both. So it's kind of nice to get back to get some of those because, you know, they're, what, 30, 35 years old sometimes now?
That's what some
not people, not exactly
some
yesterday
tell
anymore.
Me that.
Yeah. Weren't you like 19 back around that time? Or
I started coming to the marathons when I was 16.
When was that?
1987, the second annual. Wow. No, the first annual horror one. And then I did the third sci-fi in which Inframan showed for the second time and was a bust because it was showed at like 5 in the morning. And the energy was not quite there. Let's just put it that way.
You missed the first one.
I heard the first one was
you
great.
You want to tell about the first one?
Yeah, tell us about it. Because we're going to, you know, okay, we'll just start that. We'll start with Inframan.
Okay, Inframan. Okay, the history of Inframan at the marathon. The first sci-fi marathon at the Drexel North. Mm. 755-seat theater. We had about 250 people there. Because, you know, what's this marathon? And there were a number of people who were on medication of some sort. And apparently they had, like...
They'd passed it around? Or
Well, their medication was out of balance, let's say. And they were very excitable. And Inframan sort of set them off. And they were, like, literally running up and down the aisles in the theater and, like, flipping and doing cartwheels.
Yeah.
And to the point where it was a little, like...
Well, I remember you telling me the story at the third annual.
You're going to hurt yourself.
At the third annual one, you were like, oh, yeah, Inframan was great. Then everyone slept through it. You're like, well, that was... Yeah, no one went crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, the in Boston, where the sci-fi marathon was from, they didn't do 24-hour... In spite of my trying to talk them into doing 24-hour horror for years and years, they never did. They would just do 12-hour, like midnight to noon horror-thons. And they also did schlock around the clock up there. And Inframan was actually a schlock around the clock discovery.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Was Stephen Schiff, the film critic, was the one who suggested it. And it was well-received.
Nice.
And, you know, eventually it found its way into... You know, when I came here, it was top of the list of things to put in the marathon.
So this is the fourth time, correct? It's shown, because it was at the Rife Center, the year you showed Starship Troopers, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's also going to be on 35, right?
Yes.
So with the really high pitched, loud Japanese sound effects.
Oh yeah.
Whee! Yeah, all that stuff. Just to wake
and,
you up.
And earthquake.
Yeah.
Earthquake.
Oh, heavens. The other one, I'm just going down the list. I'm on the, we're looking at the flyer. I'm slightly out of sync with you because I'm on the front. But we can do it there. Yeah. Let's talk Metropolis. Metropolis is going to be, this is third time shown on a marathon?
Second.
Well, it was planned a second. Because wasn't it shown
that's
the
right. This is okay. We showed it in Joe could tell you the year probably, but it was one of the early years we showed it. Was that five?
Can you refer to me as the
fifth? It was 1992. No, okay, it was six. It was 1992. It was 1992 because it was the 500th anniversary of Columbus. So we were doing an all future marathon. Was the theme.
And you showed the Queen version, but you stripped out
showed,
the sound.
Yeah, we showed the Marauder version, and we had a live pianist. And it was fabulous.
Which was awesome.
It
I
was
loved
just
it. Yeah.
fabulous. And so that was that. And then in about 2002, it was scheduled to show. And like this, it was the main image on the flyer. Yeah, yeah. And then we didn't show it.
That happens now and then.
Well, yeah.
So is this, so how is this print? Because this is
okay, this is a DCP. This is a DCP. This is the 2010 Kino restoration, which is incorporating a lot of footage that was found, and
because it's 146 minutes, it's long.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, it really makes more story sense than it has before.
Is it tinted the way the other one is, or not? Well, I mean, the one you showed.
Oh, not luridly, not like the Marauder.
No, but more like a 20s tint that you see.
Yeah, I mean, it's true to the original.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they've really done a great job of recreating the original, trying as much as possible to create the original storyline,
and the
score is, you know, they've reproduced the original score, and I ran it at the Wexner, back in 2010 or maybe it was early 11.
Okay.
And I was impressed with it.
So if you've seen it at the other sci-fi marathon in the
90s. Yeah, I mean, this is like another film in comparison. So it's such a classic.
Yeah, it's great. And I mean, it's one I haven't seen in a long time. I take my kids now. Mm-hmm. And these are the kind of movies that I'm like, 146 minutes silent film. Doesn't always make them stampede towards the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make them yawn just the way Joe is right here in this the magical studio in the sky.
Yes.
But it's an important thing.
Well, it's past his bedtime.
Yeah.
All right. He's had a long day at school.
So Metropolis, Inferman, The Quiet Earth. Let's talk about that one.
Be very quiet.
Okay.
Be very, very quiet.
This one, I've heard of it. I'm not actually not very terribly familiar with it. Is this going to be 35 or is this DCP?
Yes, this is 35.
Oh, nice. Tell me about it.
Someone wakes up and discovers that they've slept through the apocalypse. And there's
that almost happened at the marathon a couple of years ago. Because there was supposedly the world's supposed to end in the middle of the night.
Well, if you're going to go, we might as well all go together. But, wakes up and kind of, gradually discovers there are a couple other people out there. But
what year was this made?
85?
Okay. The 80s.
New Zealand. You know, and I want to point out we have a very international marathon this year. Metropolis from Germany, Inferman from Hong Kong, Quiet Earth from New Zealand,
Akira from Japan,
Delicatessen from France,
yeah.
and some American stuff
Those Americans sometimes make movies.
Yeah.
So this is like old New Zealand filmmaking. This is not post Peter Jackson.
Yeah, this is not Peter Jackson. No. This is and it's if you've ever seen The World, the Flesh and the Devil with Harry Belafonte, it's sort of almost a remake of that.
Okay. This is what I'm looking for. I've never seen it. So I have seen Repo Man. Yeah. But it's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Also from the 80s. 35mm or DCP for this one?
DCP.
Yeah, I'm the designated Repo Man spokesman. I think I did push for that, right?
Yes, you did.
I did, yeah. And by the way, for what I said earlier, I hope it didn't come off sounding like, well, we just wanted to get something out, so here's the lineup.
No.
It was more like, here's a cavalcade of riches. There's a bunch of really great stuff, because we left stuff off this lineup that's really good, thinking, okay, we want to have something that fits together pretty well, and we figured this combination fit together the best of what we knew we could get at this point.
Well, and there was a discussion on the boards before you talk about Repo Man. There was a discussion on the boards about themes and whether they're good, because sometimes they can be tiresome.
Yeah.
You know, after, oh gosh, the third alien invasion movie.
Here's the weird thing. In marathon history, in sci-fi marathon history, there has only been, Columbus sci-fi, there has been the 500 years into the future in 92. There was the time travel in 99, but it only had three time travel movies.
Well, but there's
so this is, which is not his fault, by the way. So
well, but there, but there, but there's stuff really that tend to be unintentional. Like what is the third annual? What was the one you showed? They showed The Blob, and they showed Kronos, and it was just like, it was like five movies with some meteorite crashing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or the second horror marathon at Grandview.
And again, those aren't.
It was kind of an unintentional mad scientist theme.
Yeah.
Which we didn't figure, but intentional themes. There's only been one and a half, really.
These are really more future. Yeah, general.
It's weird, too, because sci-fi, I think sci-fi tends to have themes that you can incorporate better into a marathon lineup than even horror. Because to me, like, a time travel theme, which I know he's wanted to do for real for a long time, that has so many possibilities. 24 hours of vampire films could get a little tiring after a while, even though there are a lot of, you know, variations in that genre.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. And having a very broad theme like this, you know, it's future shock. It's just everything's kind of futuristic, and that's
for the most part. Repo Man. What should I tell you about Repo Man?
Well, tell people. I mean, if people haven't heard about
it. If you haven't heard about Repo Man, it involves a plate of shrimp, and thinking about a plate of shrimp, and it finally reveals and confirms once and for all that the more you drive, the stupider you are.
There you go.
And it's Charlie Emilio Sheen's Estevez, brother, Charlie Sheen's brother Emilio, and Harry Dean Stanton as Repo Men, and they're
has nothing to do with Repo Men the movie, which is not that.
No. Chasing after a 64 Chevy Malibu that has something special in the trunk. Now, that makes it sound like Cheech and Chong become Repo Men.
Well, pretty much any way you describe it, really Repo Men sounds like a Cheech and Chong
movie. It is a great evocation of the 80s Los Angeles punk scene.
It's a punk Cheech and Chong movie with...
gave things away. Great. Nice job, Kevin. Great. Better buy another ticket or two. I joked around before, but let me give my reasoning for why I kind of pushed for that. Now, that show, Repo Man, showed back at that 97 Rife Center one, the Super Bowl weekend, which was like one of the great lineups probably in marathon history. That was the Two Flies and Altered States and 5 Million Years to Earth and Earth Day the Earth Stood Still and blah, blah, blah. You know, Repo Man to me kind of it fills a slot that I think when I first started going to marathons and you first started going, there was always something there that was kind of pushing at the boundaries of the genre.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like I think you can confirm this too since you were there back then.
Yeah.
You had a really strong contingent back in the Drexel North marathons, especially in the 90s from like art school students and people like that. And you always, I mean, part of it was the era and part of it was the films that you could get, say, for premieres. But there was always kind of a strong sense of that feeling that a movie like this would give.
Yeah.
And I pushed him for this year and I think maybe last year too, that it would be cool to bring something like that back to mix it up with Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
It's very different. Yeah, it is different.
Well, and it's something like we seemingly have always had time for the horror marathon to try to plan out well in advance. Okay, here are 11 to 12 films that we want to do, and is it a nice mix of all sorts of genres and monster types and things like that?
It's like part of this was the reason that we slated Earth versus the Flying Saucers in as that's the last one that got booked. Because we looked at the lineup, and there's like, you know, there's Metropolis from 1927, and then the next thing was like 75, Inferman. And I really wanted something from the 50s. And not only that, there are like no flying saucers in the whole lineup otherwise.
Well, but also, you got to have a 50s movie in the sci-fi. Yeah. It's the 50s. You can get away with not having a 60s movie.
But
50s? Well,
To me, and that one to me has always been really special because I saw that as a double feature as a kid, with I think it was 20 Million Miles to Earth, was one of the runs that really got me juiced for science fiction.
You could always bump something in the show to them.
Yeah. Again. Well, we'll see if anything gets bumped.
All right, let's. The next one is The Hidden, which is a classic.
Yeah, which was one of those films that we showed. Second year?
Second year?
It was, I mean, it was a new film and nobody had seen it. It had kind of come and gone
unnoticed. And you had the trailer. Do you show the trailer like all the time, or you did. I know.
Yeah.
I can't remember recently.
Yeah. And it's just a great little film. I mean, it's just it's you know, great pacing, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat. And
is that a
and I still a lot of people aren't familiar with it. So yeah, you know, I mean, it was a great discovery at the time, and I think for a lot of here we are, 25 years later, and it'll be a great discovery for a lot of people again.
That's what I think. The Hidden falls in. There's a lot of movies in this list. Well, not a lot, but I mean, I think Dread falls in that category, where it's a great science fiction movie and something that the fan base would love. And if they haven't seen it, they're going to love it. But it didn't make any money. And it's not necessarily remembered as a classic, you know, outside of, you know, very fans of the genre. So that's good. And is that 35 or DCP?
35.
Oh, cool. The Running Man. I remember seeing a trailer for The Running Man. I had a Battle Royale, I think.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to see the trailer for Battle Royale ahead of Running
Man.
Nice.
We're going to get the Hunger Games in there? Well, are we going to
show? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you going to show some intentionally terrible? Like, you're going to show, like, The Host and trailer. Not The Good Host. The Bad Host. The Stephanie Meyer Host. Yeah. You should.
It could happen.
Just to get
people
to go.
Part of it is the schedule's getting a little tight. It's going to be... You know, I have to choose between, Bugs Bunny and, and The Host. I'm going to probably go with Bugs Bunny.
I would vote for Bugs Bunny. Yeah. 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 35 for The Running Man.
Yes.
Awesome. I remember seeing that in 35. And then Akira, we already talked about that being, it's going to be on Blu-ray.
Blu-ray. Right.
Which it still looks pretty good. I will say the Blu-ray projection.
Well, and if you think about it too, the Blu-ray projection is good, and we really luck out because the two Blu-rays are an animated film, Akira, and Delicatessen, which has such a stylized color palette and visual scheme that it papers over some of that. I tell you, when talking about The World, the Flesh, and the Devil, they showed that in Boston this year at their sci-fi on DVD, because aside from a 16mm scope print, it's probably the only version you can get. And it was off the Warner Archives, and they made the green slime when we showed that a couple years ago, and that looked fairly nice. And I tell you, I'm a critic of showing something on DVD or even Blu-ray sometimes, but World of Flesh and the Devil with a good transfer and a nice setup looked really good, and that was a big theater too. I mean, they were blowing up that image pretty large. So depending on the rarity of a title, or depending on the unavailability of a title, the video can look fairly good. I mean, you know, if we had a 35mm print of Akira, would that be great? Yeah. But I think it'll look pretty good. And it's never shown at a marathon the years. In fact, this is...
Was it planned at any time?
I don't think so.
It came out in like 89 or something like that.
But it came out like in the spring after the marathon. And... It just never, you know, just never got booked after that. Because in those days, we still had so many things to choose from that it wasn't. And part of it, too, is I don't, it didn't feel like a classic right away.
Yeah, well, it was sort of that breakthrough anime at the time. But it still wasn't, I don't want to say mainstreamed, but kind of mainstream for the sci-fi mainstream fan.
It
still was sort of a bit fringe back then.
Yeah.
Now, Dread. This is DCP, but in 2D. We talked about that.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, we're, you know, that's the next benefit. We'll convince them to do 3D.
And they just, Carl Urban just came out. Did you hear this?
Came out?
Not came out. Well, he came out. No. He came out and said, not that there's anything wrong with that. No, but he came out and said that negotiations or conversations are happening. On a Dread 2.
Remake,
For a sequel.
Yeah. You haven't seen that. No.
You've not seen the original?
No. I'm looking forward to it.
Booking things without seeing them.
Yeah.
Well, you crazy bastard.
I have a staff that previews everything.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let him talk.
Oh,
Preview.
You have something to say about Dread?
I will give all credit to our buddy. Our Guardo Camino, David Zucchini, who we always embarrass, he advised me to see it about a year ago, and I liked it. And Dave has pushed for it ever since. I agree with him. It's very much worth it. And again, it's a title that a lot of the audience probably hasn't seen. The hardcore people will have seen. Yeah, most of the audience probably hasn't seen.
It made $9 million in the United States.
And they'll probably like this. And they'll probably like seeing it in this venue. So, yeah, it should be fun.
Okay, yeah. And of course, keeping with your very narrow tract of 80s, it has a very retro synth score.
Yes, that's right.
All right, Escape from New York. This is 35.
This is DCP, but it's brand new. We had a line on a 35, but the film stock from that time period can be kind of volatile.
It would probably
be faded at this point. And we had the option to show
look a little bit like the Pit and the Pendulum. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, that's right. You were there for Pit and the Pendulum.
I was there for both times it showed. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. The same print.
Yeah.
There's a brand new DCP. That's out there. So at that point, it became kind of a no-brainer.
Who's the studio behind that?
Rialto is the company that's doing it. They about a year ago took over a catalog from a bunch of titles, like the Avco Embassy titles that Escape from New York was under. Yeah. They have the rights to a lot of those and other things. So, and they do a really nice job with putting some of these back out.
Great. And then Delicatessen. Who wants to talk about Delicatessen? Oh, Bruce. No. Joe's not even giving up the microphone.
I've only seen Delicatessen once, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. But
I've never seen it.
But it's never shown a marathon. The trailer, is shown a million times.
And it showed at the trailer trash.
Yes, it closed the trailer trash.
Did it close the trailer trash?
It is the climax of the trailer trash.
Hey, yo!
So we're all now common law
yes.
Married to Delicatessen.
Yes, it's true.
Yes.
This is, and you said Blu-ray.
Blu-ray for that, okay. Too, yeah.
And then Earth versus the Flying Saucers. Is that 35, or is that going to be DCP?
That's DCP. Ray Harryhausen destroys New York, the capital.
Washington?
Washington, D.C.
That
DC.
Other place
Washington.
On the East Coast.
Now, the thing about it is, The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is to me one of the, top five sci-fi titles of all times. And, it's so much iconic stuff in that. But the whole movie is, you're sort of like waiting for this violence to break out.
Yeah.
And it never really does. Yeah. And so,
peaceniks.
Yeah. So a few years later, they come back. Let's do the movie and destroy Washington.
Yeah.
And let's have flying saucers. And we'll bring the guy who is sort of the creep from The Day the Earth Stood Still, Hugh Marlowe.
Yeah.
He was like the venal, ambitious, I don't care what happens to anybody else. This is going to be good for my career.
Yeah.
He comes back as the hero this time and saves the world.
Yep. Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh.
You can't take this guy anywhere, really. God.
All right. Well, that's it. Now, there's not going to, is that it? Is there going to be any
costume contest?
Well, no. I'm saying for the features. Is that it on this feature?
I think that's probably it for the features.
If something very good shows up, we might try to squeeze it in. But this is a pretty good lineup, and
it's a great lineup.
Well, and lengthwise, Metropolis is 2.5 hours, and Akira's 2 hours, and like he said, trying after last year having no film, trying to put some more trailers and shorts back in.
So there will be oodles of trailers and shorts. Yeah. Let's talk about some of those.
As much as time will permit.
But I have to say, for the horror marathon, we will have 16 films, so just remember that.
Well, those horror movies, you can get those video nasties that are 70 minutes long.
Yeah, Vampire Hookers.
Do we have a date for the horror marathon?
For the horror marathon? Yeah. October 18 and 19.
Ooh, wow.
95%, yeah, I think you can probably, I wouldn't buy a plane ticket, but... You could circle it on the calendar.
You can pencil it in.
Yeah.
Wait till there's an announcement. So that's it on the. But so there's going to be.
There will be cartoons. Space Boy. There will be Space Boy. There will be Duck Dodgers.
Gravity.
I think we'll probably find a way to do that.
Okay. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh God, that's. We need to get in touch with her.
Yeah, we found her.
Yeah. You found her? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She actually found us.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
50.
Because we thought you...
She's probably about my age.
You brought in Mary Jane?
She's probably about 60.
Yes.
Well, hey.
Yeah. We
did bring in... Did you find the guy whose feet were at the bottom of the bed?
No.
Did I just embarrass you? No. He's like trying to remember who it is. Yeah. He's like, wait a minute. Yeah. I know that guy.
Yeah.
I went to college.
But he was in that cast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You were in Gravity Live. That's right.
That's Gravity Live.
Were you the feet?
No, but I, for a long time, had the feet. The feet were two...
in serial killer territory.
The feet were two metal rods with pantyhose stuffed with paper and two high-heeled red shoes on the bottom of them. I was Jiminy Gravity.
You have...
The one, the only. And by the way, now that Bruce is here, for about 2 years afterwards, because I volunteered to be in this thing with him, for 2 years afterwards, any time when I'd be with him and he would meet someone who didn't know me, he would say, this is Joe Neff, he does this, and he's Jiminy Gravity, made me look like a kid show host or something.
And the way you phrase that with the two long rods with you know, stripper heels and that sort of thing,
yes.
you have duct tape and rope and lie in the trunk of your car, don't you?
I think Serbian film was my last statement about that whole thing, so let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, we're not no Serbian film in space. All right, so cartoons. We got costume contest is back, $100
costume
prize.
Costume contest, $100 first prize, plus all the, all the accompanying loot. You know, we may, if time permits, we may come up with another contest or two as the urge strikes. Mm.
Do we know any, can I ask you about the lineup? Do you have any idea what's going to be in the lineup? I mean, in terms of what?
Oh, the schedule? Early?
What are we kicking off with? Can we say? Metropolis?
I'd rather not say, because if we change it, if somebody hears it, then...
Is Inframan going to be playing?
Inframan will be at a decent hour.
Dread Sound feels like a 5 a.m. kind of movie. Wake people up.
Yeah. Dread. Yeah, yeah. I think looking like closing with Escape from New York, Running Man probably in the morning.
That's kind of a theme, closing with a John Carpenter flick.
Yeah, we've done that, yeah. In Metropolis, I'll be early. Delicatessen and Akira with subtitles will not go too late.
Yeah.
Everything else is just probably going to juggle. I mean, there was some talk about starting with The Quiet Earth. There was some talk about what was the alternate? Oh, Earth versus the Flying Saucers was another possible first film.
That makes sense. So, all right. Now the other question. I had two more real quick questions. Mm-hmm. Food. How are we doing on food at the Drexel?
I think they learned a lot from the horror marathon, and they're really they've really applied themselves to figuring out what people want and doing it. Ordering good pizza and.
Too, because the last time we talked, that was your hard-hitting question about food. Since you weren't at the horror marathon, since Kevin wasn't at the horror marathon, because he had important things to do, like sleep. That's okay. I still like you. We're here. The food situation was greatly improved in so many ways from the year before when we were at Grandview still. People generally were really happy. And I don't just say that because I'm trying to promote this.
What did you bring up? What food did you bring in? Was it
pizza?
Was pizza
we had pizza there? Still, but it was a little better organized. Mm-hmm. There was a White Castle run.
That's not a good idea.
No, that we had a few people say, "Boy, in theory, great. In practice,
White Castle is the kind of thing you want to watch eat during one movie."
Yeah. Well, I think,
and then go home in the privacy of your own car.
And the big thing with the food last year was. The base concession staples were very solid.
Okay.
The getting people through the line was good. The pizza options, there weren't, we didn't have as many options in terms of subs and salads and other things like that. But the pizza got there on time. The pizza was there for the people. And there were enough small things that they were able to add on to the side that, you and I were talking about, some of the mishmash stuff that may have happened before. Mm-hmm. This year at Drexel, it was like, we never heard anything from anyone during the event about, why don't you have this or why don't you have that?
Well, there was a much improved attitude that the audience seemed to have.
Well, and what Bruce mentioned too, the great thing is the Drexel, they realize it was great. Mm. In the food situation alone, I mean, everything was great, but they keep wanting to improve it too. Yeah. And they don't want to take that as the base. They want to just keep making it better and getting the food options hammered down in a more efficient way. So it should be very, very good.
The White Castle was an experiment, but that's, it did not go well. It's off the board, but they'll try something new this time, I'm thinking.
Well, good. Yeah. And then parking is all still same side streets and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Is there anything else that you were missing? Do anything else you want to plug on here? talk about what we can see?
I just, you know, the thing is, for people who've never been, you really need to show up and experience it, because it's really about the audience and the experience of doing this together with a room full of people.
Yeah.
That's really what it's all about. And that's what, you know, people don't understand. It's like, you know, oh, I could watch all of these on Blu-ray at home.
Well, there's also, just, you know, here's the other thing. I've done at-home marathons. I know Joe used to do them way back in the day on VHS. There's also the stamina, you know,
yes.
If you're just going to watch a bunch of movies on Blu-ray, you're going to eventually fall asleep. But the fact that they keep running and there's somebody out there doing it.
Yeah, it really helps. Is an achievement. I'll give my testimonial too, and I always say this. I have a very, very close group of friends who I met through the marathons, and a lot of them live in Dayton, and they still come up and we still hang out, and some of them have moved away, but they come back. And we talk about it sometimes, like, wow, I probably never would have met you guys if not for the marathons. I mean, I met you from the marathons. Yeah.
And that's enough for anything.
That is more than enough for everything.
To keep you
Four or five people I can think of that I met. Dave Zucchini, who's like our whipping boy / partner / go do it guy. I never would have met him or become good friends with him without the marathons. I mean, I started going to the marathons when I'm 16, and I meet Bruce as this kid and work my way up through things and somehow get to be a part of this and you know, become friends with him. So that really is. I mean, it's great to see the films and it's great for the experience.
Bruce is shaking his head furiously. He's like, no.
This is like the scene in Boogie Nights where Mark Wahlberg says, when Reynolds is in the room and he's like, yeah, Jack even lets me book my he even lets me block my own scenes, and Reynolds is like, he doesn't block his own scenes now. No, but I mean that really is, and it's the films do keep people coming back.
Yeah.
Because if there's a cruddy lineup, it's hard to motivate yourself, especially as you get to be like you, Kevin, and get older and more feeble and
feeble.
Possibly
just fat,
tired or fat. Yeah, but the films
are good.
I'll
tell you, it's tough. I bring my kids. Did I ever tell you? I told you the story about when I took my son Liam to the first one in 2011.
Oh yeah,
and it was because the last ones, it was like Iron Man, Heel Monster, and then maybe Troll Hunter, and I really wanted to see Troll Hunter, but I'd seen Iron Man and I'd seen Heel Monster, and I was exhausted, and I'm creaky and rickety. I look over to my son and I go, are you want to go? He's like, no, we're staying for the whole thing.
That is a true marathon super fan.
I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well, those are the great moments. Yeah. Those are, and it's, even though it's about the films, it really is about the people.
Yeah.
And if the crowd was awful and annoying, people wouldn't come back. But it is, it's, I've always pitched it to you. It's that twisted family reunion aspect to it. And you meet lifelong friends, because if you can go through this and someone else can too, you figure you have to have something in common with them, which is great.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. Like I said, 31st Annual Ohio 24-Hour Science Fiction Marathon, noon Saturday, March 15th until noon Sunday, March 16th. Tickets on sale at The Drexel at 2256 East Main Street. Laughing Ogre at... That's terrible.
You're getting blind,
4258 North High Street. Yeah, it's just the font you chose.
The four in that font is just like
a nightmare. Or scifimarathon.com. Look, go there for updates and schedule. Could you post the schedule? Are you going to post the schedule the day before?
Usually, post the schedule.
Probably 4 or 5 days out.
Okay.
Because once it goes to press, we'll live with it.
Like us on Facebook, and we'll try to put stuff up on there, and loathe us on Twitter, because people do that. Yeah, and that's the source.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Klaatu, Barada, Ohio.
We'll be right back.